Hey, we're glad to have. Is it Casey? That's what I thought. I'm terrible about names. Never forget a face. But Casey's here. This is Linda's son, and he's just out of the Marine Corps. And I always am very thankful when I meet somebody that served in the armed forces or serving, and I want him to know we appreciate his service. We have a volunteer armed forces, and I'm always very thankful for men who are willing to serve because the freedoms we enjoy are because of the military that we have in place. And I'm very always thankful for that. Glad to have you with us today. All right, if you would this morning, once again, turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1. This will be the third and final message in this three-part series that we've been doing on the Apostle Paul. And obviously, you could do more and more. I was going back the other day looking through my old notes that over the years and found some that dated back to the 80s. When I was started preaching here, and I did a series of messages on Paul, and I think there were 8 or 10 of them at that time that we looked at different things about Paul. And as I mentioned each time at the beginning of these messages, the verse we use here in starting is very significant, because in 2 Timothy chapter 1 in verse 8, Paul says, "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me as prisoner. Be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God." Now, anybody that has really much insight at all into what people's attitude is toward the Bible and Bible writers know and understand that the Apostle Paul is one of the most disregarded, or I guess it'd be the best way to put it, apostles are writers of the Bible. Very few people ever question the authenticity of the writers of writers such as Peter and James and John, those writers, but they do question the authority and the authenticity of Paul's writings. Well, when Paul wrote to Timothy, he said, "Don't be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me as prisoner." We believe that we are to follow the Apostle Paul. He said in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, "Be ye followers of me." In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, he said, "Be ye followers of me." So I make no apology for saying that we follow Paul. Now, we don't worship Paul, and we don't believe that Paul's writings are any more inspired than any other writings of the Bible. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, for instruction, righteousness. But God Almighty, in Acts chapter 9, saved a man named Saul. This man Saul was a blaspheming Jew, a Jesus Christ rejecter. And he was consenting to the death of people so that he could that believe that Jesus Christ was the Messiah. God saved him, and when God saved him, he gave him the gospel of the grace of God. Now, the first week, we looked at Paul the Pharisee. And we did that so that we could see Paul's background and see what he came from. Very interesting when you study out the Pharisees and then you realize that Paul was one, and that Paul came from that to the road to Damascus there and the salvation experience that he had. Then last week we looked at Paul the pattern. Paul is a pattern of salvation. Why? Because Paul was he was without hope and without God in the world, in the sense that he had blasphemed. Now, prior to that, he was in the covenant's promise, but he wrote to the Ephesians and he said, "You were without God, without hope in the world," but then he includes himself as far as those that were walking after the prince of the power of the air in chapter 2, verse 3 there. So Paul was a pattern, or is a pattern, of salvation to those, he said, who would hereafter believe. Now, today I want us to look at Paul the preacher. Paul the preacher. The word "preach" is used in the Bible quite frequently, and the word "preacher" is used, and they both come from the same root word, which simply means to proclaim, to herald a truth. And so the Apostle Paul speaks of himself as a preacher. As a matter of fact, right here in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 11, he says, "Whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle
a teacher of who? The Gentiles. Look back in 1 Timothy chapter 2. In 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. In verse 7. He says, "Whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity." Go back over to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. And notice in verse 17. Paul, as he concludes this letter to Timothy, his second letter, he's outlining all of those that have forsaken him. He's in prison. He says there in verse 14, "Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil." Verse 16, "At my first answer, no man stood with me." Verse 17, "Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me." Now notice, "that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion." You see, the Apostle Paul says in Romans chapter 11, Romans chapter 15, that he is the apostle of the Gentiles. In Romans 11, he says, "I speak to you Gentiles inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles." Right here, he says, "that the preaching might be fully known and that all the Gentiles might hear." Paul was given a separate and distinct ministry from that of Peter and James and John and the 12 apostles. When they were sent out in Matthew 10, Christ said, "Go not into the way of the Gentiles, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." In Acts 2, when Peter's preaching over and over again, he says, "Ye men of Israel, hear these words." When Paul is saved, he is saved as the apostle of the Gentiles. In Romans chapter 15, he said Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision, confirming the promises made unto the fathers. But in later in the chapter he says, "But I am the apostle of the Gentiles." Now, I want you to go back to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. And here, throughout the ages, God Almighty has had preachers. And they are those that proclaim God's truth. Noah, I think, was spoken of as a preacher of righteousness. Jonah, a preacher. Ecclesiastes, he said, he writes about the preacher, calls himself a preacher, Solomon does. Those that proclaim Jesus Christ. John the Baptist, Matthew chapter 3, came forth preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Christ preached the gospel of the kingdom. Well, in Romans chapter 10, in verse 14, Paul asks a question. He says, "How then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" Therein is the reason the Apostle Paul was ordained, called, and made a preacher of the Gentiles. Notice what he says, verse 15. "How shall they preach except they be sent?" Paul was sent. "As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they heard? Yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world." How shall they hear without a preacher? Now, I want you to go back and notice the difference in what is preached. And look just quickly in Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2, in verse 34, "For David," and this is Peter speaking, "For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel nor assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this preaching, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That verse today is one of the most misused verses in the Bible, because a large majority of the religious world believes that is the message of salvation today. I saw it the other day written on the back of a van in big letters, almost the whole left door there, Acts 2:38. And I thought, they must be going to Israel. Must be on their way to Jerusalem. Listen, folks, I wrestled with that verse for years. I had people that were very close to me that believed in baptismal regeneration. They believe that you have to be baptized to be saved. And when I would read that verse, wanting to believe the Bible meant what it said, it just drove me crazy, because the verse says, Repent and be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. What I didn't know was that throughout the chapter, time and again, Peter is referencing, Ye men of Israel. When they heard this, who? The men of Israel. So Peter is preaching exactly what Christ told him to preach. Back there in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, in Luke chapter 24, he said that repentance and remission of sin shall be preached in my name. Now, go over, if you will, to Acts chapter 15. Acts 15. Peter, a preacher, a minister of Israel. Jesus Christ, a minister of the circumcision. In Acts chapter 15, in verse 19, Wherefore, my sentence is that we trouble not them which from among the Gentiles return to God, but that we write unto them that they abstain from pollutions of idols, and from fornication, and from things strangled, and from blood. For Moses of old time hath in every city them that preach him, being read in the synagogues every Sabbath day. Now, most of us, I think, know the context of what's going on here. And that is that in the early part of Paul's ministry, he goes first to the synagogue. And obviously, the verse speaks for itself. Moses of old time hath in every city them that preach him. And that was true of that day. What the sad truth is today is that still, in the United States of America, in every city, there are those that are still preaching the law of Moses. They're trying to put people under the law. And Moses of old time hath in every city them that preach him. And so it is today. Well, let's notice what the Apostle Paul preached. Look in Romans chapter 1. In Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Notice in let's start in verse 8. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request, if by any means, now at length, I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift to the end you may have established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was led hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and the unwise. Thank God for that, right? So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. Verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Now, we know, according to 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4, that Paul very specifically identifies what the gospel is. And that gospel is that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures. And that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. That is the gospel of Christ. That is the gospel that Paul preached. And you can't find anywhere in your Bible that that gospel was preached prior to being given to the Apostle Paul. Say, well, what about John 3:16? John 3:16 does not say Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. And was buried and rose again the third day. It says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. But folks, through Jesus Christ, salvation was going to be made available to the world through the Jewish nation. It's altogether different what was revealed to the Apostle Paul. Look over in Romans chapter 16. In Romans chapter 16, Romans 16, verse 25. Now to Him that is the power to establish you according to my gospel, and notice the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest. The preaching of what? Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. Not according to prophecy. Not according to that which He taught in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, but according to the revelation of the mystery. What is that? That is that Jesus Christ died for all men, and that salvation has been extended to all, including those who were outside the covenants of promise, without hope, and without God in the world. That is the message that the Apostle Paul preached. That's what Paul the preacher proclaimed to the Gentiles that he went into, and that's what he's talking about when he said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Now, Paul is not simply saying that I am not timid about this or I'm not ashamed to preach it. He didn't say I'm not ashamed to preach the gospel. He said I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It goes far beyond simply not being ashamed to open his mouth and proclaim the words. He's not ashamed of the gospel of Christ because he knows that it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. In other words, he knows that it is the message that God will use to bring about salvation. And what do we see in that? We see that we are to proclaim Jesus Christ in exactly the same way Paul did. Look over in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ be made of none effect. Do you know, folks, that Peter and the other apostles, the other 12, could have never made that statement? Why? Because Christ did send them to baptize. That's how you can be assured, without a doubt, that Paul was not one of the 12. There's a popular teaching that says that Paul took the 12th position there because Matthias was not chosen according to the will of God to replace Judas. That's just a bunch of buoy, hogwash, whatever you want to call it. He became the 12th. The Apostle Paul was a separate and distinct apostle and a preacher of the Gentiles. And Christ did not send him to baptize like he did the 12, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. Verse 18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. What is the power of God? The preaching of the cross. The proclamation of what took place at the cross. What took place at the cross? God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing our trespasses. That's the good news of the cross. That's the reconciliation message that Paul preached. And he said, we are ambassadors for Christ, and so we're to preach the same thing. There were those that preached Moses. There were those that preached the kingdom doctrine of repent and be baptized. But then there was the Apostle Paul who said, as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. Look back in Romans chapter 10 again. Romans chapter 10. In Romans chapter 10. Romans 10 verse 8. But what saith it? That is the righteousness which is of faith, back in verse 6. What saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. The word of faith. Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the Son of God. It is the word that was given to and through the Apostle Paul. Look over in Galatians chapter 1. In Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. Galatians 1 verse 16. Verse 14. And profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals. You see, the Apostle Paul, First week we talked about him being a Pharisee. Here in this passage, let's look back up in verse 11. He said, I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached to me is not after man. Then he said, why? For I neither received it of man, neither I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my conversation in time past, in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it. And profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the tradition of my fathers. Now, you know, if you went to school somewhere to learn something, and you studied it for years, wouldn't it be really disappointing that after you studied for 5 or 6 or 7 years, that you found out that everything you'd learned was no longer relevant? Just think about that. Everything's changed now. I mean, that happens in some professions, I'm sure. But here Paul is, you know, Paul was a teacher of the law. He was a Pharisee. He was a man who knew the law. And all of a sudden, you know, I mean, come on, you know, we find ourselves in that same position. I think that's one of the reasons, folks, that sometimes preachers have such a difficult time in changing their doctrine once they learn that what they have believed in the past is wrong. They got so much invested in it. They've been to school. They've been educated. They've learned all this. And now somebody's going to come along and say, listen, the Bible says thus and so. And they say, but that's not what I was taught. That's exactly what Paul said. He said, I profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals. And by the way, when he said profited, I believe that's exactly what he's talking about. I believe it was profitable for him to do what he was doing. Probably money involved. After all, time and time again, he says that the Judaizers were doing what they were doing for filthy lucre's sake. So there was some profit involved in what Paul was doing as far as being a Jew is concerned. He said, and I profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the tradition of my fathers. Now notice verse 15. But it when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by His grace, to reveal His Son in me, that I might preach Him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. You see, here Paul's got this all these years, all this wealth of information, all this memorization of the law that he's studied and he's learned and he's memorized and he's practiced, and all of a sudden, God says, you just got to count all that but dung. Be a hard thing to do, isn't it?
But God replaces it and he gives them something else. And that is the revelation of the ministry, of the mystery, to reveal his son in me that I might preach him among the heathen. You see, the Apostle Paul had a very specific ministry. It was that to preach Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, the gospel of the grace of God, the gospel of Christ. He said, Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. He said, to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God's salvation to everyone that believeth. So this preacher, he knew who to preach to. He knew what his ministry was. But even more importantly than that, he knew exactly what to preach. Look back in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 again. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, there was no misunderstanding in Paul's mind about what he was to preach. Now, I know that times there's different debates about when Paul preached what and so forth, but I know that the Apostle Paul knew by the time he wrote Corinthians, for example, and probably far beyond that. I believe much of what he was to preach was revealed to him initially. But regardless of all that, 1 Corinthians 1, verse 23, notice what he says, but we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, again, the power of God and the wisdom of God. He knew what to preach. What did he preach? Christ crucified. The simplicity of the gospel. There's a, I wouldn't say a movement, but there are people today among the grace brethren, grace believers, that I think do damage to the simplicity and to the truth of the gospel by some of the things that are presented. And what I'm talking about is this. The Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, I fear, lest by any means the serpent beguile thee through his subtlety, that your mind should be corrupted from what? The simplicity that's in Christ. There's this idea that's being presented today that in order for a person to be saved, there are certain things that they have to understand. The Bible says the gospel is the power of God to salvation to everyone that understands. No, that believeth. Salvation, folks, is not understanding all the details of what took place at the cross. You know what salvation is? It's trusting in the finished work of Jesus Christ that took place at Calvary. Plus nothing. That's it. And you can say, well, you got to know this or you got to know that. No understanding involved, trusting. Listen, I don't understand to this day all that took place there at Calvary. I don't understand how that God would turn his back on his son. But he did because he was made sin. I mean, I understand elements of it. But you know what? Because I don't understand it, doesn't keep me from trusting in what this book says about what Jesus Christ did for me at Calvary. Christ died for my sins. He was buried. He rose again the third day. And listen, all a person has to do is believe those words that are written down on that page and trust in what Jesus Christ did. Paul said, in whom you also trusted after you heard the word of God, the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. You see, folks, it is God's will that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. The understanding comes after a person's saved. But you don't have to understand anything as far as deeper things in order to be saved. It is the power of the gospel that saves. It's interesting to me that people say, well, I think people just don't understand that this and that. That's not what it's about. It's about belief. The Apostle Paul
He said, we preach Christ crucified. Look over in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. First Corinthians 9. Verse 14. Even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. But I have used none of these things, neither have I written these things, that it should be so done unto me. For it were better for me to die than that any man should make my glorying void. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. For necessity is laid upon me, yea, is woe unto me, if I preach not the gospel. You see, the Apostle Paul really puts things in perspective. Because he talks about being followers of him. He talks about how God ordained him to be a preacher of the Gentiles. He is the apostle of the Gentiles. And yet he says, I have nothing to glory of. Though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. Look over 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Now, Paul did have a lot to glory of in the flesh when he was a Jew, when he was trusting in the works of the law. Read Philippians chapter 3, when we read there about being a Pharisee. He had much to glory. He said, if any man have confidence in the flesh, I'm more. But notice what he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. You know, it's a shame today that most people, so many people look at a position of a pastor or a teacher or a priest as being some high and exalted position where man is to be honored. You know, the only honor that God Almighty instructs those to have toward preachers today is toward those that labor in the Word. He said they're counted worthy of double honor. And he says that the fact is that you're to esteem them very highly for their work's sake. Not because they're in some kind of position. You see, Paul says, we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, ourselves, your servants for Jesus' sake. That's what the position of a preacher is today, that of a servant. A servant of the Lord, a servant of the people, proclaiming the truth of the Word of God. Look in Ephesians chapter 3. In Ephesians chapter 3. In Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 1. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which was given me to youward, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs in the same body and partakers of promise in Christ by the gospel. Now notice verse 7. Whereof I was made a minister, according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Why was it given to Paul? Because of his education? Because of his religious background? No. Verse 8, unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given. Paul said, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power might be of God and not of us. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given. Notice that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see was the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world has been hid in God, who hath created all things by Jesus Christ.
Folks, I want to tell you, this world today needs some preachers who will preach the gospel of the grace of God and preach Jesus Christ according to Revelation ministry, of the mystery, and make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. Why? Because that is what shows people the truth of salvation and all that we have in Christ. Now, there's always that temptation to compromise the message. Look back in Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians 5 verse 11. He says, "And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. I would they were even cut off which trouble you." You see, Paul said there was a way that he could ease up the offensiveness of the cross, and that is by preaching circumcision. Notice over in chapter 6, he said in verse 12, "For as many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised, they may glory in your flesh. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world." Notice in Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1 verse 24, "Who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind with the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister, according to the dispensation of God which is given unto me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which has been hid from ages, from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of the mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus." That's what the proclamation of the truth is all about. That's why Paul concluded his letter to Timothy and he said, "Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, with all long-suffering and doctrine." Notice over in Titus chapter 1. In Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter 1 verse 1. "Paul, a servant of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began." And notice verse 3. "But hath in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of our God, our Savior." The commandment of God, our Savior. Think about that, folks. How has God chosen today to manifest his word? Through preaching. I want to tell you something there. The obligation, the responsibility, if you will, maybe that's a better word, of preaching the Word of God is one that should never be taken lightly. We have the written, completed Word of God. Sure, everybody's to study it. We're to read and study. But God has ordained that in this present age that men would study to show themselves approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And that those men would preach Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. That those men would preach the gospel of Christ. Christ died for our sins, was buried, and rose again the third day. Those men would manifest the word of God rightly divided so that people might see and understand and know who they are in Christ. That they might see that they're lost and need a Savior. and then they might believe and trust in Him. And having believed, then they might understand who they are in Christ and see all they have in Christ and go out and preach to other people. Why? Because He's manifested His Word through preaching, Paul said. And he said, it is committed unto me according to the commandment of God, our Savior. Thank God that one day God did save the Apostle Paul, that Pharisee, and showed him that He was going to save him by His grace, a pattern to those who were there to believe. And Paul not only accepted and believed that truth, but then he went out and preached it and told others. And today, we're to do the same thing, preaching the good news that Christ died for our sins. Why? We're ambassadors for Christ. And thus we are to preach the Word of God, rightly divided, the truth of the gospel of the grace of God, that all men might see the fellowship of the mystery, and that all might see and understand that salvation is a free gift. I hope today that if you've never really seen that, if you've never believed in your heart and mind that Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose again the third day, that you might see the truth of that today and believe and trust in what Jesus Christ did. That is the gospel of our salvation. And there was a man sent from God that proclaimed that for nearly 30-something years. Wrote it down, and God's preserved it in His book. So that today, He has manifested His Word through preaching. The preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. Don't ever be ashamed of the Apostle Paul, the one who Paul said to Timothy, "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, His prisoner." Thank God for the ministry of the Apostle Paul and the gospel given to us through him. Would you stand me for prayer?